This is Opportunities in Science with me, Dr. Barry Towler, founder and CEO of science animation company VivoMotion. In this podcast, inspiring individuals reveal their interesting career pathways after completing a degree in science. Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Opportunities in Science with me, Dr. Barry Towler, founder and director of science animation company VivoMotion. So I'm delighted to welcome today's guest, Dr. Chris Jeffs, who is currently a careers advisor at the University of Oxford, empowering students and researchers to pursue fulfilling careers within academia and beyond. So welcome, Chris. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting and looking forward to it.
Great. So let's go right back to the beginning of your career in science, I guess. And if you can tell us what degree or degrees you hold and where did you study about, please?
I started with a very broad biological sciences degree. So I went into Oxford for my undergraduate. I was sort of first in family, first in school to ever go there. So that's quite an important part of my career journey going forward as well, why I hammer it in at the start.
Yeah.
But it was always ecology and animal biology and things like that I was obsessed with. So did my undergraduate in biological sciences, did a master's by research, so an MRes in entomology, so that's insect ecology and science, two projects were there. Mm-hmm. And then I went in to do my PhD, so my DPhil back at Oxford with a supervisor, and I went on to do a postdoc there for 2.5 years as well, writing a grant during my DPhil with my supervisor. Mm-hmm. to stay there for 2.5 years. So that's the science journey. Mm-hmm. The first part.
And so since completing your science qualifications, what jobs have you had then that maybe led on to further qualifications? Because I know that you've got other degrees up your sleeve.
It's fun. It was like all along that science side of things, I was kind of doing a bit of a side career of volunteering, if it were. Mm-hmm. For public engagement and outreach and career support and things like this. Mm-hmm. And so when I got to that stage in my postdoc where it wasn't quite working for me anymore, and I realized there was something else I wanted to do, I actually applied for a job that was an engagement officer, so public engagement at the British Ecological Society. So okay. That's a learned society, a publisher and a charity. Mm-hmm. And that was my entry level job into public engagement. And it really helped set me up that sort of 7 years of doing the volunteer. I was just doing it for fun alongside the research. Mm-hmm. But when the time came, I wanted to leave. That's what set me up. Mm-hmm. And I was at the British Ecological Society, BES. I was at the BES for about 5 years, getting little promotions during that, gearing a bit more towards the careers work. Mm-hmm. So career support and training, as well as the public engagement. And then most recently, it was just over a year ago now, a job came up for being a careers advisor at Oxford. And it seemed like the perfect position. I really wanted to go down the career support route more. Mm-hmm. This job came up. It was supporting researchers who wanted to move beyond academia or progress in academia. So it was nice to be able to help people who I'd been in their shoes. And that's where I am now. I'm sort of more of the PhD supporting careers mm-hmm. advisor now, as well as other students as well. But that's the jobs I've taken outside.
Yeah.
I did have a couple of little dabbles elsewhere as well, of sort of freelancing stuff as well.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. And I noticed on your LinkedIn profile that you have got a qualification in careers. Can you tell us about that one and when you did that and why you chose to do that one?
Yeah, well, it's still in progress, so I'm still doing it at the moment. It was a really nice thing. That's why I was very lucky with this job that came up. Oxford Careers Service, the department I'm with, is very welcoming and inclusive in terms of who they bring in. Mm. They don't just want you to have the bit of paper. They want your lived experience as well. And so having been through the postdoc system there, and mm-hmm. done career support and other various careers in the sector, like public engagement and the environment mm. and the academia itself, they wanted to bring those people in. So I managed to get that job. But I'm a serial, you know, imposter syndrome dies hard wherever you are. So they were really generous in helping support me through that qualification and actually applied for training budgets and things like this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting my, it's called SIGI for short, but it's the Certificate in Education and Guidance in Higher Education, Careers Information, Education and Guidance in Higher Education. So SIGI, Careers Advisor bit of paper, that's the way to call it.
Well, that sounds really good. And I guess it also gives you that gravitas, I suppose, as a careers advisor. When you're actually calling yourself careers advisor, you've got that qualification to go with it. So that's really nice. I liked the idea of what you said about having a side career. It's like a side hustle. And then sometimes that becomes something bigger, I think. For me as well, when I was a postdoc, I was doing outreach and I was doing animation and art, and that ended up being the direction that I went in. So it's quite interesting because at the time you sort of think, oh, that's just for fun, but it's not going to come to anything. And then eventually it sort of matures with you. And I think sometimes people are drawn to a certain area, and that's just how your career evolves. So I think that's quite an interesting insight there of the side career. Anyway, what have been your main career achievements and highlights, would you say?
It's really interesting because when I was thinking of making this most recent switch to being a careers advisor full-time and leaving the public engagement world in my charity job, mm-hmm. I actually saw a careers coach to help me through that process and sort of understanding why the job wasn't satisfying me much anymore. And one of the exercises in that was to look back at your achievements, and being a very, you know, anxious-y person and not letting yourself celebrate your own achievements that much was quite notable. And I didn't feel proud of many of my academic achievements. Mm. You know, your grants, your doctorate and all this kind of thing, a couple of the papers, they just didn't really bring me joy anymore. And when I looked at what I was proudest of in my public engagement job, I had just won a £250,000 education grant from the government to do amazing outreach work with, you know, in areas of high socioeconomic deprivation. And that's my big driver, is economic equality and education access. That's my big passion.
Okay.
I loved the grant, but it helped lots of people, thousands of people, with the team that was leading it. And that was a massive achievement. But I realized I was three steps removed from being on the front line, speaking to the people and doing the connection with those people and helping them. It was my brilliant team that were doing all of that. And so when I realized what my heart opened up for with my achievements, it was founding a bursary the British Ecological Society for helping low-income individuals getting to ecology. And I was the sort of coach that would work with them over a series of time and source the funding. And it was being on the front line, speaking to people. And so my biggest achievement that I feel personally was when an individual who was extremely talented and couldn't afford many opportunities to get that practical experience to get into ecology, the CV couldn't fill with things because they just didn't have the funds. They used the money to get this amazing practical experience, an incredible placement year that we worked together to secure. And then she messaged one day to say she had secured that job as an ecologist, and now she's a science communicator for you know, whale watching and all this kind of thing. Yeah. And I just thought, wow, that was from start to finish. And it genuinely brings me a massive smile.
Yeah, so rewarding for you. And I guess that is a major achievement, seeing the outputs, I guess, of your hard work in terms of that. And it sounds, you know, so worthwhile as well, like helping people who wouldn't have those chances otherwise. So brilliant. Okay. So really good. Thanks for sharing that one. That's a lovely story to hear. Have there been any difficult moments in your career? And if so, how have you overcome them?
There's been a few, I would say, and especially in the science side of things. When I was doing my PhD, you know, it's tough. I was a tropical researcher. It's brilliant. You get to go to some gorgeous locations and live in the field. But as a person with quite severe anxiety, there's a lot of pressures that come with that as well. And you're away from your support network for 6 months of the year and in the middle of, or in a tent or something like this with lots of people. And social anxiety is a big thing for me. I say I'm nervously chatty.
Okay.
that's the nerves. Mm-hmm. And that grinds you down a bit. and being away from your partner of 8 years and never having lived with each other, that kind of thing, because of that. And so when I was going through my PhD and especially my postdoc, it just increasingly was becoming a bit difficult and it was affecting my mental health eventually. And that was when I knew that something had to change, because the bits that brought me joy in the past were no longer bringing me joy. I always say it's a bit like peaks and troughs. So when you can tolerate a lot of the troughs, the tough, the statistics that I didn't enjoy, the writing up, the being away for quite a bit of time, because there were some fantastic peaks that came with it. But eventually those troughs really did outweigh the peaks. And that's when I started looking into alternative careers. So it was looking at what I enjoyed that helped me get through to the next step.
Yeah. So really taking the time to reflect on what brought you the joy. You were mentioning there about your anxiety. Have you got any tools or wisdom to share with people about how you cope with that? Like, have you learned any strategies, just practical strategies, even over the time?
Yeah, I think it's been a long old process, and many I'm sure might sympathize with, you know, it's always there, but you do come up with those strategies to manage. I really like the very simple ones of the gratitude focusing. When you're feeling a bit down, I did this even yesterday when you had a little moment because of this, was you sit there and you think, okay, what are the three things right now that I'm very grateful for? And I just think them in my head, and it just breaks the cycle of that negative spiral sometimes. So I find actually just taking the time to force yourself to think of the things you're very grateful for really, really helps with it. But it's also knowing your limits and knowing what you're striving for. The academic system really puts us through that quest to achieve and compare ourselves to each other and things like this, or at least I did compare myself to a lot of people. And seeing a careers coach for my most recent switch changed me from seeking progression and success in terms of status into focusing on what impact brought me joy. And that's why I'm a careers advisor, because you see people, multiple people every day, and you typically see how you help them directly. And I needed that short-term gratification, maybe, just to see that I was making a difference. And so I think the strategy was working out genuinely what I see as success and brings me joy, rather than what I feel like was success in terms of status or whatever it might have been. It was really freeing to notice that.
And what the culture kind of puts on to you in terms of what success is and how success is measured, etc. So that's really good to hear your insights there. I think certainly for me, journaling is one that helps. I've got this thing called Penzoo. It's online. It's an online journal. And I've just started doing it again recently because I've just had a little bit more time this autumn, just to kind of, I think, just sort of reflect a bit more. And it does help you actually day to day, just to get some thoughts down on a bit of paper, even if it's mumbo jumbo. It doesn't have to be properly written. So it's good getting your stream of thoughts out there. Let's hear a bit more about your current job. Obviously, you're finding it quite rewarding to help people on a daily basis and share, you know, all the experience that you have of going through academia, etc. But what would you say are the sort of skills and qualities that you need for your current job, and what's the best part of your current role as well?
Best part of my current role genuinely is that seeing, I feel like I'm helping people every day. You see, you get feedback from people about how it's helping you often in the moment, or you get emails a couple of months later saying people have secured the job or that it helped them with their anxiety or whatever it might be. And that brings me endless satisfaction and happiness. I absolutely love it. I just can't explain how much I enjoy doing that, knowing that you're making it, you know, doing what you can. I think it's really nice. I found my way to help, and that's what's lovely. But the skills that you need to be a careers advisor and what I developed, I suppose it was all that volunteering back in the day, realizing your communication. I'm not a writer. I tried the blogging side of science communication. It wasn't for me. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of craft, and I wasn't patient enough for that. I'm much more of a bung me up on stage and ask me to fill for 30 minutes and I'll be able to talk. So I realised that maybe verbal communication was my way. of helping with things. But more important with careers advisor is training yourself as a chatty person, that you're there to listen.
Sure.
You're not there to force any opinions or anything like that. You're neutral. And so actually it was a couple of friends that were really nice and sort of said, when I said I was becoming a careers advisor, they went, oh, I can see you doing that.
Yeah.
They say, you always seem to know when something's wrong, or you always, you know, the emotional intelligence side of things and the empathy and picking up. And that isn't something I had never really put on myself. But when you fit into that job, people told you that was kind of what you were known for, which was really lovely, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are a couple of the skills. I think it's that active listening, being perceptive.
I think it is one of those things that sometimes you don't do, like ask people what, you know, people close to you, people around you, maybe colleagues or even family, you know, what do they think are your qualities and skills as a person? And sometimes it can be a bit surprising what they come up with. But that's interesting that, you know, they said that that's, you know, the role that you would be good at. So yeah, you've found your place. So that's brilliant. What has helped you along the way in making your career decisions? Have you ever had a mentor, or have you gone along to, you said that you've obviously worked with a careers coach as well. Any other thoughts on that?
Significant people have been really influential and life-changing throughout my different stages. You know, I've had a couple of career switches already, because you're just refining what you enjoy and where you fit best. And that changes with time. One time you want to be gallivanting around the world and going to the tropics, and another time you want to settle down and you want to do this. So don't worry if it changes. Complete 180 over time. That's natural, that's normal, that's life. And I've had different people who have helped me through each of those transitions. When I was in science, I had the most supportive PhD advisor and postdoc supervisor, who let me create space to do my volunteering, which enabled me to build that CV. We were results based, not hammer and tongs 7 days a week kind of people. And so as long as we were getting what we needed done, he was really supportive. So I think that supportive supervisor was fantastic, and finding the right cultural fit if you're looking for your next supervisor. Then when I was doing my public engagement, I volunteered for the Royal Entomological Society, so the Insect Learned Society. And there was their head of outreach there who let me take my crazy ideas and supported me to do it, and taught me some tricks of the trade and things like this. So I was doing careers podcasts and public exhibitions, and they brought me along to my first ever event. And that just support for my enthusiasm was lovely. And then most recently, yes, that careers coach just completely changed how I view what I want from a career, to seek joy and fulfillment rather than the markers of success that perhaps we're told are success but perhaps aren't for us individually. So yeah, some really significant people at each way. So find people you trust and you want advice from. Just go talk to them, go reach out and say you love what they do. Could you have a chat? And some amazing relationships can happen from that.
That's good. And are you still doing your volunteering work, or is that finished for the time being?
No, yeah, I'm still chipping in. It sort of morphed over time. So I used to be, when I was a master's student, so like 12 years ago, that was my first event, and I'd be on the front line doing bio blitzes, where you go identify insects with the public and things like that. Then it moved into managing events and organising things and getting the volunteers down to do it. Then I joined committees. And so now I'm on the Royal Entomological Society's, you know, I was on the outreach committee. Now I've switched onto the education and training committee because it's more my careers focused. So that's how I do the volunteering now. But I did fill in at a big festival on the weekends because they needed someone to handle the insects and show the public. So any excuse and I'll be volunteering.
I noticed that you'd done some work with butterflies as well, and that stuck out for me because my daughter loves butterflies. So I was thinking, oh yeah, she would like to speak to you about that. So just to finish up, Chris, what advice would you give someone who wants a career in science? What would you advise?
A career in science, in its broadness, I think it depends what you're looking for. Some people love to problem solve and they're coders and they just love making things efficient or finding a problem and solving that problem. irrespective of what the impact is, you know, medicine or government data or whatever it might be, some people are driven by that impact that they want to have on the world. So it has to be education access or, you know, finding a vaccine or whatever it might be. So I think knowing what makes you tick is really good to know what brings you satisfaction, because a career for me, I needed that 8 days, eight hours a day where I was finding satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it might just be the job security that you want, and you like to be compensated for your time and your skill. And so knowing what you want from your career in science can be nice. Is it contributing to a cause that's very specific, or a way of working and spending your time for 8 hours a day for many years? And I think really taking some time for that self-reflection and understanding what you want to do can be good. So talking to your career service or a careers advisor or just the people around you can be really useful to help with that reflection.
Yeah,
I know that's very vague, but I'm a careers advisor, so hey, we can go deeper if you want to talk about it. Reach out.
I do think it's really important to have that kind of time just to stop sometimes, because we're all so busy and we just are doing. We don't stop and kind of reflect on how we're actually feeling about what's going on in the career. So self-awareness as well. And
if I was going to give some practical advice,
yeah,
it is those people. I think it's joining charities, joining learned societies, joining student societies, whatever it might be, committees and things like this. That's where you get to exercise all of your interests beyond your day job.
Yeah.
Experiment, try new things, meet people who do different things to you and your immediate surroundings. It really does broaden your horizons, and it can often be the little things you didn't have to do that unlock an interest or make your CV sing when you're applying for something different. So don't underestimate that power of volunteering, putting yourself out there, side hustles, or just having that valuable mentor.
Yeah.
They really can unlock a different path.
Okay, brilliant. Just to finish, is there any sort of resources that you'd like to signpost anyone to in terms of career advice? Because I think there's some things online at Oxford, is there, that people can access? I'm not sure.
Your university, they often have their own career service.
Right.
They are amazing. You often have, you know, either lifetime access or long-term access to it. There's often open resources for careers and sector guides. There might be one-to-one appointments you can book through those. So genuinely, careers, I never used them in my 10 years at the university, and now I work for it. I wish I had used it back in the day.
Yes.
So they're brilliant. But also things like Prospects is very good. Prospects is a website that you can go on.
Okay.
The careers pages of learned societies and charities are often very useful to give you an insight. They're working to promote your area of science. So if you find the dream charity that you're wanting to work for, reach out, look at their education, careers and training pages, because they're going to have so much specialist insight into the area that really you want to go into. So yeah, look at those charities and learned societies. They're invaluable.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, thanks, Chris. There's been so many insights there in our short chat today. And I wish you all the best with your career going forward. I'm sure that you're going to help lots and lots of people with their career decisions. And it's such a worthwhile job that you're doing. So yeah, thank you very much for your time today. And it's been a delight to hear about all your interesting career choices. So thank you very much.
Thanks for inviting me. Thank you. Bye.
Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Opportunities in Science with me, Dr. Barry Towler, founder and CEO of science animation company VivoMotion. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so on Apple, Google, and Spotify. We look forward to you joining us for the next episode. Bye for now.